In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Isn't that an incredible paragraph? And you say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's right. Praise God. You know, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the end times and exactly what will that look like in the book of Isaiah. So I have this timeline that we've been looking at. And 2 weeks ago, we found ourselves talking about the return of Jesus. And you can see, obviously, 2014 is today. And in our very near future, there's a seven-year period that the Bible talks about, a time of tribulation for us. And then you have Jesus's return, which we talked about 2 weeks ago. And last week, we talked about the thousand-year reign of Jesus upon the earth. Well, we're skipping ahead today to everlasting life, eternity, heaven with the Lord. Anybody ready to talk about that? Right. "Arise, shine, for your glory has come, Lord. It has risen upon you." I think that these verses were the first out of Isaiah that I ever memorized. And I want to tell you, this is all about Jesus. How do I know that? Because Jesus tells us in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light that God has sent into this world. So all of these verses right here in verses 1 through 3 are about the Messiah. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Lord rises and his glory shall be seen, right? Nations shall come to light. This is referring to Jesus Christ. Now, this could be his first coming when he walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. This could be the millennial reign when he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. This could be eternity in heaven with him. Here's what I know. When Jesus shows up, the light has come. Guys, this right here that I'm holding in my hand, this is a menu to get to know the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ. Don't just get lost on the pages and miss the very essence of life that God has given us in Jesus. He's been the plan since the foundations of the earth were laid. "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Skip down to verse 6, and it says this: "A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord." Now, Bible scholars that are smarter than me will say that this verse was fulfilled in Jesus' first coming, when the Magi brought the gold and frankincense and myrrh to Jesus when he was just a toddler. It could be about his first coming. It could be about the return of Jesus. This could be about the millennial reign. It could be about heaven and eternity. Here's what I know about these four verses that we've just read. And this might come as a surprise to some of you. We are a vital part in what God wants to do in eternity. Do you realize that? You are a vital part of what God wants to accomplish in eternity. When we look to heaven and we long for that day that is to come when we can be with Christ face to face, you are a vital part of what heaven holds, because God wants his glory to shine in you. Go back here to verse 1. He says, "Arise, shine." Now, that's a command from the Lord. Now, we think, okay, he's talking about Jesus, arise, shine. He's not talking about Jesus right there. He's commanding you, arise, shine, for your light has come. Jesus has come, and his glory has risen upon you. But look at this. He wants his glory, the very next sentence, to be seen upon you. See, the Lord's light transforms us. It transforms me and you. We are the ones shining right here. God's glory to be seen in us. Now, maybe you've never put this together before. At John 8, verse 12 that we read earlier, Jesus is the light of the world, right? What does he tell us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. How can those two things be? When Christ is Lord of your life, when he is inside of your life, you are the light of the world. It was his design and his ordination since the foundations of the earth were laid for his light to be on display through you to the rest of the world. How are they going to know Christ apart from you? And what Christ in you through the Holy Spirit reveals to people. Man, God wants to use you. Now, I love this right here. You see, God has said, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Even though this was hundreds of years before Christ first came to the earth, God is writing about this in the past tense. Did y'all catch that? So God is talking about the future as if it's the past, because that's how glorious Jesus Christ is. You can count on it. That's how amazing God is. Here it is. It's laid out for you, and it's a done deal. It is finished, right? It's done. It's accomplished. So, church, this then is who you are, right? The glory of the Lord within you, rising up within you. I don't know why, as Christians, so many of us like to walk around as if our best friend just insulted our mama or something like that. And we walk around with this downcast gloom all the time. Yet the Lord has said, arise, shine. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For those of us in Christ Jesus, this is our life right here. That I don't walk around just with death upon me. I walk around with the light of life upon me. That should impact my attitude when I step out of bed in the morning. That should impact my attitude when I go from point A to point B, whether that's my house to HEB or work or wherever it is. Oh, the glory of the Lord wants to shine in my life today. In verse 16, you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Those are three incredible names of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. Now, what has he done there? He's taking these elements, right, that we see on the earth, and for everyone that he lists, it's transformed into a better version of its earlier self, right? Bronze becoming gold, iron, silver, wood, bronze, stones, iron. And this next sentence, he takes it to human beings. I will make your overseers peace and your taskmasters righteousness. See, it's a complete transformation that God is working. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation, and you shall call your gates praise. Everything is transforming for the better. It's complete change, inside and out. How many of you have seen the new movie Transformers? Anybody? Right? Bueller. This is the younger side of the crowd. What's? I'm just joking. Right? Some of them were embarrassed to see it, because this is what I read about the movie, that it has no plot, right? But if you want to see things transforming and blowing up, then this is the movie that is for you to go see, which is pretty cool, I guess. But for almost 3 weeks, Transformers, and this is like Transformers, what, number 6,000, right? number four. And so for several weeks, Transformers was on top of the box office, making millions and millions of dollars. And they even said when they made this, it's a reboot so we can make more money off of future transforming movies, right? Because people will come And I think the beauty and the intrigue of these transformers is that we can be something that we're not, right? Oh, here's something that looks like a truck, but really it's this alien transforming thing, right? See, we're so enamored with acting like something that we're not. We're good at it, too. Right, we get so beat up from somebody, yet we act like everything is okay. Oh, it's all fine. Don't worry about it. Everything is okay. We have a horrible day, yet we put on that fake plastered grin. We're good at transforming, too. But here's the truth about eternity. Right, the transformation is complete. That all of those dark areas that we keep from the Lord and we try to cover up and we try to act like everything is okay, even those areas have been dealt with fully and totally, so that what was bronze is now silver, so that what was rocks are now iron. So the transformation is complete and total in eternity. Church, here's what I don't understand about you and I. We have the ability through Jesus Christ today to be transformed in the power of the cross. So why do we act like we're transformed without really being transformed? Instead of just allowing him to deal with us deep down inside. He is the light of the world, to allow that light to penetrate the darkness of these areas that we hold from him. And then we act like, oh no, I've got it all together, when we know deep down inside, I really don't have it all together. Well, let the Lord get it together. That's what the cross was about. That's what grace is about, that it pours out into those areas. Well, why are we settling for second best? Let's let God's transformation be complete. And we said last week that these passages give us a glimpse of what we should be in God. We should strive in the power of Christ to be transformed fully and completely. I love what he says here. You shall call your walls salvation. You see, these walls are always a point of attack. This is where people are going to come. They're going to put ladders up and overcome the walls and tear them down. So you would place watchmen surrounding your walls. And you know this is always going to be a point of interest and great concern. As no, your walls are going to be called salvation. Your walls are going to be about the saving power of the Lord instead of what's the next bad thing that's happening. He says your gates, they're going to be called praise. You see what would happen in the gates of the town. People would gather. They would do their business there. All of the gossip in town would happen right there. All of the trouble that would come in from other places would enter through the gates. All of the things that we worry about would happen in the gates. Hey, your gates, they're not going to be about gossip. They're not going to be about worry. They're going to be called praise. And this is what God accomplishes in Christ Jesus. Now, we've entered into just a plain description of eternity. He says this, the sun shall no more be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Isn't that incredible? How many of you are ready for that time right now, right? Arise, shine, the sun will no more be a need for you by day. In fact, let's just flip back to Genesis chapter 1 for a second. This is a creation, Genesis 1 and verse 14. The Lord created the sun and the moon. The fourth day. I want you to read this and understand, if the Lord is going to be our light, then these attributes here are being covered by the Lord. So God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. See, we use the sun and the moon. We use the stars to understand what time it is, right? But even time itself will be completely transformed. That's eternity. God simply is I am, and we are there with him. Time as we know it will be changed. And these signs and seasons, so we know what's going on, we simply look to Christ. We look to the light that is there with us. And his revelation is constantly with us. There's no more wondering. There's no more interpretation. There's simply revelation. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day and the lesser lights to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. There's no more separation, is there? There's no more difference between night and day when the Lord is our everlasting light. What was in the darkness has now been brought to light. For those of us who call on the name of Jesus Christ and are saved by that name, there's just inclusion at this time. A welcoming and a bringing in to his light the whole time. And the Lord saw it and saw that it was good. Boy, God is replacing, and even things that we've hoped for and imagined are greater in this light that we see through Jesus Christ. Now, why will mourning be ended? Because sin has been completely vanquished. Because sin is no more. I know in the news this past week, one of the things that were on all the headlines was this Malaysian flight that was shot down by a ground-to-air missile in Ukraine. And just crazy to even read stories about this, right? How could that even happen? And what's worse, you know, you think of these Eastern Ukrainians as this disorganized lot. And if they can do this, what are other people that are maybe even worse able to do? Just crazy. And it wasn't like some military jet. This was just an airliner full of innocent people. And you know, at one point, these people, they get on their plane, they're excited to go to Kuala Lumpur, and then in the very next second, suddenly devastation and the most unimaginable thing that you could think of has happened. And we walk around as Christians so many times with this idea that at any second around the next corner, sin is crouching. And it's, what am I going to be tempted by? And what's going to knock my feet out from under me this next day? And what problem is going to await me as I walk about my day and go about my life? Not so in eternity. See, sin is vanquished. Now, when Jesus died on that cross, when he said, "It is finished," it is finished, right? And as sure as Christ died on the cross, this day is coming for those who put their faith and their hope in Jesus Christ. It is finished. But in this day, the work of salvation is complete. And what now we know in part, then we shall know fully. And we talked about this a few weeks ago with our men's ministry and how salvation works in the Bible. But the end of our salvation is this right here. That we are constantly being saved by Jesus Christ. But in this moment when we're glorified, even the presence of sin is cast away because we're in the presence of the Lord. What a day that will be. In verse 21, your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and it's time I will hasten it. Church, what we see in eternity is God receiving glory for the work that he's done in our lives. God receiving glory for the work that's done in our lives. That tells me several things. One of which is this, that our work in this life needs to be about eternity. We don't need to be consumed with what tomorrow will bring. We need to be consumed with what is God up to in eternity? And what can I do for my reward to be great in eternity? Here's what I love about this. He says, you will be righteous, right? We will be righteous. It's not a look. It's not a game. It's not a mask where we act righteous. It's not that we just have access to righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, the Lord will have completely changed us. You will be righteous. All right, this is a final change. But here's what I know. The work has begun in Jesus Christ at the cross. Read these words with me here. It says, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. See, this is eternity, and this is a culmination of all things. So here's what that says for us today. God is working in your life today to bring about these things that we see come to fruition in eternity. He's working in your life today. Take heart. Be encouraged by that, right? So many of you have a look upon your eyes all the time like, God can't use me. God can't do anything in my life. Oh, I'm a poor sinner. That's right, you're a poor sinner. That's why Christ died on the cross, so that he could use you by his grace to do good works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. God is working in your life right now. God has the ability right now in your life to take even the junk, even the bad things, and use it for his glory. That's the majesty and the glory of God's working. You are the branch of his planting, the work of his hands. So that in eternity, he's going to get glory for what he's done in your life right here on this earth. You know, so many people have asked me throughout the years, what is it going to be like when we stand before Christ face to face? I have no idea what it's going to be like. Nobody knows exactly what it's going to be like. But I believe from Scripture and the judgment seat of Christ that we're going to have an opportunity to look at our life and give glory to God for the way that his grace has been used in our life and praise him for that grace. Wow, look at how your grace transformed me and worked to do things that are now seen in eternity. And at the same time, I believe we'll see in our life with regret the areas that we didn't yield to God's grace. And I think that we'll know in that moment, wow, if I could have just given all of these areas of my heart to the Lord, to his grace, look at what he could have done in my life and in my family's life. See, the Lord is working in you. Some of you don't believe it, but part of the glory of the church and God's design is that we can come together as a group of sinners and the Holy Spirit is with us and we unite our resources and we unite our talents. And as a corporate body, God does great things through the life of the church. Guys, he's doing great things through you. I want you to watch a video of our trip to Honduras several weeks ago. As most of you know, we go to Honduras multiple times a year and minister in the mountains of Honduras. And a few weeks ago, the Lord had arranged a time for us to have a pastor's conference where we could go and pour into these pastors and give them resources. All of the resources were provided by you. Every pastor that you see talking was paid for by you and able to get them out of their homes and get to this place where we could have a conference and like seminary classes, teach them about the Bible, teach them about how to lead their church and how to impact lives that were around them. Now, what I love about this is God being at work in their lives through your lives. Now, everything on the trip didn't go as planned. From the very start, there were problems. Our flight was canceled. We missed our connecting flight. And that's like our lives here today, right? Man, there's problems. I try to go and do something with God, but I'm encountering difficulties. Yet God started taking everything that was frustrating and using it for his glory. I want you to watch for the next several minutes and be encouraged by what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now, I know that every week is not a mission trip to Honduras. I understand that. But God is using you to accomplish great things. And God is at work in your life, right where you are, living and breathing in your homes. And it's our joy when God is at work around us to join him in that work and to wait for this final day. See what the Lord says here at that last line. He says, the Lord works it out in his time. See, this day of Isaiah 60 is coming, and this will be a reality. And it's so sure that God has spoken of it as if it's the past. He is already there, working this on our behalf and working things today in his favor and for his glory. He is already working in your life to make all of this happen. Church, be patient. Trust in him. Don't lose hope. Father, how we love you. Thank you for the testimony of this morning. And thank you for the hope of glory that is ours in Christ Jesus. How we long for that day, God, where we will be with you in eternity. Father, until that day comes, may we be diligent to do the work that you've called us to do right here on this earth, to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. How we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.